friends, over recent years, I have been struck by the multiplying numbers of parishioners who have come to me and said, "Vicar," they say, for that is my name, "Vicar, why does the church not communicate in the modern idiom so that we may understand what you are saying?" And I fully agree. I think it is high time that the church got with it and swung to the happening crowd. And so with this in mind, I have revised today's reading to prove that the Bible is more pertinent today than ever before. It's Genesis 2 verses 1 to 20, and I hope you'll enjoy it. "And verily, Adam did stand in the Garden of Eden. Hungrily his lustful eyes drank in the sensual motions of the nubile body before him. Faster and faster she danced, her body gleamed with tempting desire, and her ruby red lips glistened with the promise of a thousand pleasures. With a low moan, he seized her by the shoulders and threw her roughly to the grass, his eyes ablaze. Oh dear, I've run out of time. But for those of you desirous of obtaining copies of this sermon with photographs in a discreet brown wrapper, please deposit $25 in the collection plate. All proceeds to the Church Ferrari and Ski Chalet Fund."
Yes, it's the all-new Axe 2 and a Quarter Times Faster for instant pain relief, Naked Vicar Show. Starring in order of medicinal value, the Take It With Confidence for quick three-way relief, Ross Higgins, the gently soothes away aches and pains, Nolene Brown, and the settles upset tummies fast, Kev Goldney. Plus, this week's special guest, the strong one that won't make you drowsy, Arnie Jack, as the Naked Vicar.
I am not a vicar, I'm a lady. Anyway, I'm not going to take any clothes off. That'll be looking if I catch anyone in this show taking any clothes off. Nolan Brown, Kim Colby, or you, Ross Higgins. I'll rip your bloody arms off.
And finally, a special message to Confused of Perth. Yes, a turquoise off-the-shoulder gown would look stunning. However, these days, most men choose to wear a plain lounge suit when meeting the Queen.
And now, a word from the Young Liberals.
Drinkies.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
And now, a word from the Labour Party.
Keg.
Thank you.
Cheers.
And finally, a word from the Country Party.
Oink. Cleavage, the magazine for today's liberated woman. This month, Cleavage looks at sex again and asks, why not? And continuing Cleavage's series of East Meets West, famed Japanese psychologist Chang Long Ni gets together with American sex therapist Dr. Joyce Tremble to bring you the Ni Tremble Method. And in an exclusive interview, we ask, is there sex after death? Read the Pope's amazing answer. Sex at Buckingham Palace. Cleavage looks behind the throne with a startling expose of the sex life of the Queen's corgis. Plus, Cleavage's nature boy of the month, Humphrey Bear. Cleavage, the pseudo-intellectual magazine designed to exploit today's liberated woman.
Joylene, you're back.
Yes.
Well, how was it?
What?
How was your Women's Weekly World Discovery Tour, of course?
Oh, that? Average. Europe was a disappointment. Never seen so many migrants.
Yes, they're everywhere these days.
As I said to Neville, mark my words, Neville, there are more migrants in Europe than there are in Melbourne. He said I was imagining things. Neville said Melbourne's chocker with wogs. That's why he won't live there.
Did you have any language problems?
No, Neville was most restrained. The only time he lost his cool was a traffic jam in the Champs Ulysses when he shouted bloody wogs. Then kicked a citron. And a poodle.
Did you see the Eiffel Tower?
Oh, that was a real letdown, Carlene. It doesn't lean at all. But you know Neville, a very inventive brain. He held his camera at an angle.
Oh, very inventive. Did you take many snaps?
Hundreds.
How do they look?
Black.
Why?
Don't know, really. Neville said he didn't want to talk about it. He just muttered something about bloody rotten Japanese lens caps. And I didn't like to press the point at the time because he started to kick the cat.
Ah! little Tibby when you got back?
Very hungry. But as Neville said, we didn't need a bloody budgerigar anyway. It's for the best, really. They never got on, hated each other, fought all day.
Tibby and the budgie?
No, Neville and the budgie. Like cat and dog they were. Of course, it wasn't all the budgie's fault. Neville used to tease him with the hedge clippers. Anyway, enough about Europe. How are things with you, Carlene?
Oh, you know, the same. Just average.
The kids?
Fine. Johnny missed his school certificate again.
Oh. Any other news?
No.
Oh. How's the hubby?
Stan? Oh, he had a bit of a setback.
Oh, nothing serious.
A bit. He died.
This is the police report. Your host for today is my good self, Sergeant Bill, call me Cheeky Malone. At 2 a.m. in the morning last night, between the hours of 12 and 3, the following persons were apprehended and charged with frequenting an illegal gaming house. They were as follows: Mr. J. Smith of Darwin, Mr. J. Smith of Mount Isa, Mr. J. Smith of Broken Hill, and Mr. J. Smith of Adelaide. Mrs. B. Brown of Melbourne, Hobart, Stanthorpe, Brisbane, and Woomera. A Miss Shirley Temple of Panania. A Mr. D. Duck of Ayers Rock. Mr. Attila the Hun of Randwick. Mr. No Miss Charlie of Yarralumla, ACT. And Mr. I. R. Min of Parliament House, Brisbane. Would any members of the public, knowing the whereabouts of the aforementioned suspects, please ask them to return Sergeant Halfpenny's patrol car. And also Sergeant Halfpenny. Or at least help him into a cab.
Once a tallest wagon and fire built upon
Australia, a land of contrasts. Western Australia gives us iron ore.
Tasmania gives us the apple.
South Australia gives us the wine.
And Queensland gives us the peanut.
Sharp?
Yeah, what do you want?
Packet of those cigarettes, please.
There you go, 80 cents.
Well?
Well, what?
Where's me horse?
Eh?
On telly, you have a horse with these.
They don't hear.
But I want to gaze manfully into the setting sun and take a deep drag and look rugged and butch and dum dum da dum dum da, you know, like that.
Bruce?
Yeah?
Get out of here.
Oh, now, come on. Where's me Stetson?
You don't get a Stetson, just the fags.
But I want to be able to pull it down over my steely blue eyes and look brooding and firm of jaw.
Put the pack on your head.
Ah, come on. Do I get a sheepskin jacket then?
No.
Set of spurs?
No.
Well, what do I get?
Brown teeth, rotten breath and a yellow tongue.
Oh, dear. Well, can I have a pack of mints then? You know, the ones with the hole in the middle?
10 cents.
Do I get John English with them?
Bruce?
Yes?
Piss off.
Ladies and gentlemen, here is Ricky May.
Baby, baby, it looks like it's gonna hail. Baby, baby, it looks like it's gonna hail. Better come inside, let me teach you how to jive and wail. Oh, we gotta jump, jive, and then you really 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 gotta jump, jive, and then you will. A woman is a woman, and a man ain't nothing but a male. A woman is a woman, but a man ain't nothing but a male. Come in, all right, let me teach you how to jive and wail. Hey. Jump jivin', then you really gotta 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 jump jivin', then you will. Duck basket, hey! It's a tree if it ain't got no snail. A woman is a woman and a man ain't got no fail. You'd better come. let me teach you how to jive and wail. Oh, you gotta jump jive it, then you really gotta knock jive it, then you really gotta jump jive it, then you really gotta jump jive it, then you really gotta jump jive it, then you will, well, well. That he was a tail. I threw a head, then I thought that I lost the mail. You gotta get inside, let me teach you how to jive and wail. Oh, you gotta jump jive, then you really 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 gotta jump jive, then you will, will.
Interrupt this program to bring you an apology from the ABC. 10 years ago, John Chance read the following item on the ABC News.
Today, a woman was bitten on the funnel by a fingerweb spider.
We apologize for this because obviously it should have read,
yesterday, a woman was bitten on the funnel by a fingerweb spider.
However, a late memo just to hand reveals that this too is wrong, for which we also apologize. It should read, she was bitten on the web by a funnel finger spider. No, she wasn't. She was fingered on the funnel by a bitten web. No, no, she wasn't. She hit it with a brick, and it wasn't even a spider, it was a budgie. That was a trick news item. Back to our normal program.
The numbers have been counted and the government's motion is defeated by 38-0 on account of the fact that they're all on a fact-finding tour of Tahiti and Rio and St. Tropez and Monte Carlo. And one's been arrested in Queensland for looking sideways at a policeman.
And now, without fear, without prejudice, and without pride, the ABC presents a searing chronicle of lust and raw animal passion. It's
Blue Hills by Gwen Tedious. Episode 28,563. John and Mary are still out of town and don't look like returning. Elsie and Bert are tired. Jerry is still asleep. Michael and Pat just don't care anymore. And Harry's gone outside to kick a tree. Meanwhile, Connie visits Pat.
Kiwi! Are you there, Pat?
No.
Oh.
That was Blue Hills. Connie was played by Orson Welles, Pat by Lionel Rose, and Bird Noises by the Premier of Queensland.
Now a word from Les Girls.
Silly Cohen.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
Oh, good day, Darryl.
Good day, Joe. Millie?
Yeah, thanks, mate.
Hey, Millie, Shirl. Jeez, it's been a hot one today.
Oh, blood oath. Oh, cheers.
Yeah, cheers. I saw that son of yours the other day.
Oh, who, young Kevin?
Nah, the other one, Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's a worry, that boy.
Yeah, me and Robbo are up doing a job for the Department of Works, and Robbo says, hey, Darryl, he says, isn't that one of Joe's boys? I looked up and bugger me, there he was strolling across the reservoir.
Luxury, he's supposed to be a tech.
Anyway, give him a yell.
What are you doing out there, Kevin? I says.
Well, he shouts back and he says, I'm Kevin, I'm Jesus, and I'm fishing. Another beer?
Yeah, thanks, mate.
Well, you should have seen the look on Robbo's face. He turned to me and he said, that kid's a bit strange, isn't he? I mean, there's no fishing there.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with him. He's the worst bloody carpenter I've ever seen. Of course, he can do no wrong in his mother's eyes. I've tried talking to him. I said, look, son, you've got a lot of responsibilities ahead of you. I mean, as a son of God, you just don't go around nicking hubcaps off Holden's.
Why?
Yeah. You know what he said? He said, if I'm the son of God, how come I missed my school certificate? Well, what do you say to that?
Oh, don't worry, Joe. My eldest John, you know, he didn't get his. He failed it four times. Look at him now. He's the head of the Baptists.
True, true. Point taken. But I'm determined to put him through tick so that at least if the God thing doesn't work out, he's got a trade to fall back on.
Quite right, mate.
Of course I'm bloody right, but you can't tell him. You know where he is now.
No.
Bloody Nullarbor Plain.
But what's he doing there?
Well, how the hell do I know? He took nothing with him, no hat, pair of thongs. I said, well, at least you're going to take the Primus, aren't you? No, he says, she'll be right. What about your mother, I said. Left a note on the sideboard, he said.
My John was a keen hiker too. Queen Scout, you know.
Yeah, but at least John knew something about the bush. Not like bloody Jesus. He'll starve to death. I mean, one Vegemite sandwich isn't going to get you through 40 days and 40 nights, is it?
We interrupt this program to cross to our roving reporter.
Hello, this is Derek Roving, reporting to you from the International Air Terminal, where I'm speaking to the head of a new elite branch of the Customs Department, Ms. Dorothy Finchley. Hello, Dorothy.
Hello, darling.
Not now.
When, then?
Later. Tell me, Ms. Finchley, what's this new division all about?
Well, we here at Checkpoint Arnold are charged with a specific duty.
What's that?
The detection and apprehending of person or persons engaged in the nefarious and illegal practice of forcibly concealing and transporting protected fauna outside the territories of the Commonwealth, to wit, Australia's national bird.
Which means?
Putting the arm on chook smugglers.
So, chook smuggling is on the increase, eh?
Enormously.
Why do you think is this?
Well, you see, in the East, our very own humble chooks are regarded as highly erotic creatures, possessed of great and potent sexual stimulants, particularly the beak. A fact that you and I proved quite wrong last night.
Not now.
When?
Later. You mean they smuggle the whole bird for the beak?
Not necessarily. There are gangs out there in the suburbs, armed to the teeth with pinking shears, ready to pounce on any unsuspecting chook.
No.
Yes. It's all over in a flash. Do you realise that throughout Australia there are thousands of beakless chooks scratching in the dirt and thumping their heads on the ground? It's pathetic.
Tell me, how do you go about apprehending these chook molesters?
We have highly sophisticated techniques. Observe. See this man coming towards us? To your untrained eyes, he's just another businessman in a grey suit with grey briefcase and a pair of black jockets pulled over his head.
Yes, I see that.
Well, to my trained eye, something gives him away as a chook smuggler.
Would it be the chook in his breast pocket?
Correct. Now, observe my sophisticated interrogation techniques. Hey, you?
Yes?
Are you a chook smuggler?
No.
Well, if you're not a chook smuggler, here comes the trick question, Derek. What's that in your breast pocket?
A cocktail saveloy with feathers on it.
Pass. Breathe easy, Derek. False alarm.
Well, I must say, that was very exciting, Dorothy.
Oh, just routine, Derek. We're used to living on the razor's edge here at Checkpoint Arnold, ever vigilant, ever watchful, trusting no one, suspecting everyone. For we are the guardians. By the way, what's that lump in your pants? It's not a chook tied to your inside leg, is it?
Dorothy?
Just testing. Now?
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it again for Ricky May.
us together. Think of even, babe, whenever some sweet talking may come along. Sing me this song. Don't mess around. You just gotta be strong. You just stop. Cause I'm ready for you. Stop. I've been thinking of you. Look in my heart and let love keep us together. All right, young and beautiful. Someday your looks will be gone. When he is gonna turn you off, or who'll be turning you on? Said stop. I'm thinking about you. Said stop. And we'll go on without you. Love in my heart, and we'll stay keeping together. Whatever.
Just a minute, Harry. Calm down. Bloody vitamin pills. I just brushed my teeth.
Oh, all right, but hurry.
Who are you?
Now, Miss Charlie.
No. You're not no Miss Charlie. You're a burglar.
Not me, missus.
If you're not a burglar, why have you got a stocking pulled over your head?
Keep warm.
Well, where are the rest of your clothes?
Fell off.
All right, if you're no Miss Charlie, why are you in my bathroom?
Clean bath.
I cleaned it.
Clean basin?
I cleaned that too.
Wash dog?
I don't have a dog.
Wash budgie?
Darling.
Wash husband?
Charlie, you're a deviant.
Oh, darling, when are you... Who's he?
Name is Charlie.
She's right.
Bloody fine way to start a honeymoon.
We interrupt this show for another apology, this time to the RSPCA. Earlier, we mentioned that a woman hit a budgie with a brick. We wish to point out that under no circumstances will the ABC allow budgie bricking in its studios. In fact, the budgie, who was very depressed at the time, committed suicide by running under a falling anvil. And that was a trick apology.
morning, class, and welcome to day one of how to censor dirty, suggestive things on radio, television, and film. Today we shall explore the use of the bleep. This is a bleep.
Beep!
And this is how you use one. Now, there's a growing controversy in the community about suggestive song lyrics. However, discreet placement of the
beep
can neutralize these filthy, depraved words. For instance,
I could have beep all night. I could have beep all night and still have beep some more.
And here's another filthy little ditty we cleaned up.
Beep, beep, beep.
Delilah. I saw her
beep
on the night when I passed by her window. I saw the flickering shadow of
beep
on the blind. She stood there
beeping.
Then I found my
beep
in my hand and she
beep
no more.
Sincerity, and welcome to another exciting edition of It's Elementary. The two competing teams today are on my left, stop that boys, the boys from Alsatian College. Give them a big hand. And on my right, the smutty little girls from some toffee-nosed girls' school in Melbourne. Don't bother to applaud. Now, first question goes to Alsatian College and is for you, Timothy.
Yes, Dad.
How old are you, Timothy?
12 3/4.
You're right! And it's 100 points to Alsatian College. Now for the girls. The first question goes to the little fat one with a spotty face and glasses. How old am I?
I don't know, sir.
Stupid girl. No points. Don't applaud. But that wrong answer gives Alsatian College another 500 bonus points. Applaud! And now it's time to beat the buzzer and the bell. Boys, test your bell. Now, girls, test your buzzer. Good. Everything's working fine. First question. What's the longest river in the world? And the boys have it. You'll have to be faster than that, girls. And for the answer, Timothy, what is the longest river in the world?
Hong Kong, Dad.
Right! Clever boy, Timmy. He saw the trick part of the question. And so the boys add another 3,000 bonus points to their score, plus, of course, an extra 100 because the girls are ugly. Stop. Stop sniveling, girls. Now, the big bonus question coming up. Pick a number, girls.
10.
You can't have it. You'll have number 15. And here's the question. What is the cube square root of the cosine of 7,349 divided by 11.3?
19.2.
You're right. But because you've got fat legs, the points go to the boys. And so with 8,000 points to nil, the boys of Alsatian College win. That means, Timothy...
Yes, Dad?
...that you have won the Qantas packaged all-expenses-paid trip around the world for father and son and a Lamborghini for the lucky father. But, girls, you don't go away empty-handed. Here, just for you to take away with you, a wonderful biro. Well, that's the end of another It's Elementary, and this is Andrew Sincerity saying goodnight, Australia.
Show starring the R-rated Kev Goldsby, the adults-only Nolene Brown, and the suitable-for-general-exhibition Ross Higgins. The not-recommended for children Double J band was under the musical direction of the heavily censored Michael Pajani. Noises and other sound effects were made by, for the mature audiences, only John McGraw, Ron Wendell, and Steve Collins. This show was recorded by the past without cuts Mike Byrne and Pete Walker. Written and produced by the, but it's an art, I tell you, Gary Riley and Tony Sandler. David Ives gave up his naughty books to be executive producer. The Naked Singer Show is an RSJ production and available in our play.